The Switch That Doesn't Collapse the Qubit, from Supercomputing News by SCN staff. Within a 10-day span, two announcements made quantum networking feel less like a future architecture diagram and more like an engineering program. Cisco unveiled a working research prototype of what it calls a universal quantum switch designed to route and translate quantum information across major optical encoding modalities. IonQ disclosed a photonic interconnect milestone between two independent commercial trapped ion quantum systems and separately its selection for DARPA's heterogeneous architectures for quantum program. None of these announcements makes distributed fault-tolerant quantum computing imminent. Together, though, they show that the interconnect layer, the plumbing between QPUs, is becoming a first-class engineering target. For the practitioner reading this, the news is not that Cisco has a press release. The news is that the network layer of quantum supercomputing, the layer analogous to InfiniBand or Slingshot for classical HPC, has produced among the first commercial vendor hardware reference points for a heterogeneous quantum switch interconnect layer. Why a quantum switch is harder than a classical one. A classical network switch reads a bit, decides where it goes, and forwards it. The whole architecture is built on the assumption that bits can be read, copied, and amplified without consequence. None of that holds for quantum information. Two physical constraints make the read and forward model impossible. The no-cloning theorem says you cannot copy an unknown quantum state. Measurement collapses superposition, so reading a qubit to inspect it destroys the quantum information it carried. Any device that handles qubits in transit has to do so without measuring them. That sentence sounds like a footnote. It is the entire engineering problem. A quantum switch must accept an inbound quantum signal, translate it if the source and destination encode information differently, and deliver it to the destination without ever reading the underlying state. Telecom fiber can carry suitably wavelength-matched single photons, but loss, dispersion, polarization, drift, filtering, detector coupling, and lack of quantum-safe amplification are the hard parts. The difficulty lives at every active component that touches the photon. The modulator, the router, the converter, the amplifier. Each one needs to be quantum-aware, or it kills the qubit. The encoding modality problem. Even if a switch can route photons without measuring them, it has to handle a second issue. Different quantum hardware platforms don't speak the same physical language. Today's quantum hardware breaks down across five platform families: superconducting qubits, IBM, Google, operate at microfrequencies inside dilution refrigerators at tens of millikelvin, trapped ion qubits, IonQ, Quantinuum, manipulate ionized atoms in electromagnetic traps using laser pulses. The systems do not require dilution refrigerators, and ions are laser-cooled in vacuum traps. Neutral atom qubits, Q-era, inflection, hold uncharged atoms with optical tweezers. Silicon spin qubits, Intel, Dirac, Quantum Motion, the EU's spins pilot line, encode information in single electron spins inside silicon quantum dots, leveraging the same CMOS fabrication base as classical chips and operating in millikelvin range dilution refrigerators, often tens to hundreds of millikelvin depending on architecture. Photonic qubits, PsiQuantum, Xanadu, use photons themselves as the qubit, sidestepping the matter-to-photon conversion problem at the cost of harder gate operations and stochastic measurement-based computing. A photon emitted by a superconducting qubit sits at a completely different frequency than one emitted by a trapped ion system. Inside the optical regime alone, quantum information can be encoded four different ways: in polarization states, in time bins, in frequency bins, or in spatial path. A switch that can only route polarization-encoded photons is useless for systems that emit time-bin photons. Cisco says the prototype is designed to support the four major optical encoding modalities: polarization, time-bin, frequency-bin, and path. Publicly, however, Cisco has only reported experimental validation for polarization encoding. Time-bin and frequency-bin support are described as built into the design and next in validation, while path support should be treated as design intent until Cisco publishes more data. The patented conversion engine is intended to translate between modalities at the input and output of the switch without performing a measurement on the encoded state. Cisco reports average degradation of less than or equal to 4% in quantum state fidelity and entanglement in proof-of-concept experiments, with full results expected in an archive paper. The company also reports electro-optic switching as fast as 1 nanosecond, sub-1 watt power draw, and operation at room temperature on standard telecom fiber. The next platform's technical write-up walks through the same numbers in more detail. Two caveats. Universal is a marketing word, and is one Cisco has only partly validated in public. And this is squarely a research prototype. There is no product, no timeline, no announced deployment partner. The engineering is real. The roadmap is not yet a roadmap. The stronger anchor, IonQ on commercial hardware, DARPA on the backbone. The harder-edged announcement came 9 days earlier. On April 14th, IonQ disclosed two simultaneous developments, a live photonic interconnect between two physically separate commercial IonQ systems, and selection for DARPA's heterogeneous architectures for quantum program. IonQ's April 14th interconnect release says the company photonically interconnected two independent commercial trapped ion systems and validated the generation, transmission, and detection of photons used to enable entanglement between them. Separately, IonQ's HARC announcement says its contribution to the program focuses on quantum memories fabricated from quantum-grade synthetic diamond, and IonQ links its 2025 qubit-to-photon frequency conversion work to future use of existing standard fiber infrastructure. Public materials do not state that the April interconnect demonstration itself used diamond memories or standard telecom fiber. Those should be read as adjacent program elements, not properties of the April demo. The Air Force Research Laboratory partially funded the interconnect work, case AFRL20261742. Synthetic diamond can host optically addressable color centers that act as quantum memories, atomic scale defects in the carbon lattice that can hold a quantum state for milliseconds to seconds, and coupled to telecom wavelength photons. Nitrogen vacancy centers are one well-known example, but IonQ has not publicly specified which color center system its ARC memory platform will use. Rare earth-doped crystals, atomic ensembles, and trapped neutral atoms are also in active research as alternative memory technologies. HARC itself is the structural news. The program assembles 19 teams across 15 organizations into two work streams. The Quantum Shared Backbone, QSB, workstream, Hardware Interconnects, includes IonQ alongside Harvard, Stanford, UC Berkeley, EPFL, ANU, Carnegie Mellon, and UIUC, among others. The Mosaic workstream handles software frameworks and circuit compilers for heterogeneous qubit systems. HARC's structure suggests DARPA is treating heterogeneous quantum networking less as a blue sky physics question and more as an integration and architecture problem. That does not make it commercially ready, but it does move the center of gravity from theory towards engineered systems. ARPANET is the obvious historical precedent for federally led network buildouts of this kind. So is the 1980s NSFNET program. Quantum Computing Reports analysis walks through the workstream composition, the repeater problem, and the distance ceiling. Single-link interconnects between adjacent systems are a starting point, not a finish line. Standard fiber loses roughly 0.2 dB per kilometer. Over a 100-kilometer span, more than 99% of photons are lost. Classical networks fix this with optical amplifiers that read and retransmit the signal. Quantum networks can't because measurement collapses the state. The path forward is the quantum repeater, a node that performs entanglement swapping and purification across multi-hop links without measuring the underlying quantum payload. A working repeater needs a quantum memory capable of holding a qubit long enough for the repeater to coordinate operations across the chain, milliseconds at minimum, seconds for serious distance. Diamond color centers are one candidate. So far, no quantum memory technology has demonstrated production-grade coherence times at the scale required for intercontinental quantum networking. That gap is why the field divides cleanly by distance. Short-range, campus-scale, under 10 kilometers, demonstrably achievable. IonQ's April demonstration is in this regime. Metropolitan, 10-100 kilometers, active engineering. China has operational QKD networks in this band. Long-range, over 100 kilometers, requires repeaters with high-fidelity memories that don't yet exist outside lab conditions. Satellite-based quantum key distribution has bridged some gaps for cryptographic applications, but doesn't yet move computational quantum payloads. Heterogeneous across qubit types. What Cisco switch addresses? Full QPU to QPU networking across platforms remains a research problem. What still doesn't work? Three engineering problems are unsolved, and a practitioner article that doesn't name them is doing the reader a disservice. The cryogenic interface. Cisco's switch operates at room temperature on telecom fiber. Useful for the switching layer, not directly useful at the QPU boundary if the QPU lives in a fridge. Superconducting qubits and silicon spin qubits both operate inside dilution refrigerators. Enscombe pre-live the combrature if the cream pump will spin, and their native control signals have to be transduced to telecom wavelength photons without losing coherence. This is electro-optomechanical transduction, and it is an active research area with no production solution. Until it has one, the cryogenic platforms sit on a different network than trapped ion, neutral atom, and photonic systems, regardless of how universal the switch in the middle claims to be. Classical coordination latency. A quantum repeater needs classical communication to confirm that an entanglement swap succeeded, to negotiate error correction across nodes, and to coordinate the overall routing. That classical traffic adds latency that may end up dominating distributed quantum algorithm performance. The MoSAT workstream inside Hark is targeting exactly this problem. No public results yet. Standards. Standards work has started, especially around QKD networks, terminology, security, and interfaces. IEEE has working groups on quantum networking, ITUT has Y3800 series quantum communication standards in progress, and ETSI runs the ISG QKD industry specification group. What has not emerged is a universal, industry-settled standard for heterogeneous QPU to QPU networking across encoding modalities and qubit platforms. That is the gap Cisco is trying to influence. Why this is happening now? Four forces converged into the April 2026 news cycle. Modular thinking has won. Today's quantum processors top out in the hundreds to low thousands of physical qubits. Useful fault-tolerant computation likely requires millions. Scaling a single chip to that count faces compounding constraints. Cryogenic footprint, control line density, crosstalk between qubits packed at increasing density. The mainstream architectural bet is now to network multiple smaller QPUs into a single logical machine. IBM's quantum-centric supercomputing blueprint, published in March, commits explicitly to this direction. Networking went from a long-term research question to a near-term engineering requirement in the span of 2 years. Photonic component manufacturing matured. Silicon photonics, developed at scale for classical networking, is now producing electro-optic modulators, frequency conversion crystals, and single photon detectors at costs and yields that weren't reachable 5 years ago. Cisco's room temperature, telecom fiber compatible switch is possible partly because the underlying photonic component layer caught up with what quantum systems need. DARPA decided to fund the backbone. Hark structure, 19 teams, 2 work streams, hardware and software in parallel, reads as a deliberate effort to build a US-led quantum networking stack before international standards and supply chains lock in. That is the same logic ARPA applied to networking in 1969. Post-quantum cryptography urgency is funding adjacent infrastructure. NIST finalized post-quantum cryptography standards in 2024. Migration deadlines have driven investment in QKD networks across the EU, the UK, and at scale in China. That work is not the same as distributed quantum computing, but it is building the photonic component supply chain, the workforce, and the operational know-how that quantum compute networking will inherit. Sovereignty. 3 different races, 1 infrastructure. The DARPA-HARC program is the dominant US sovereignty signal and shouldn't be soft-pedaled. The participating institutions, the workstream structure, and the AFRL co-funding of IonQ's Photonic Interconnect read as a coordinated push to establish US-led quantum networking capability as a national asset. Outside the US, 3 parallel programs matter. The European Quantum Communication Infrastructure, EuroCI, is building a secure quantum communication infrastructure spanning the EU, with all 27 member states involved, a terrestrial segment underway, and a satellite segment planned through ESA. The Eagle 1 quantum satellite is scheduled for launch in 2026. A €50 million Photonics for Quantum P4Q program launched in 2026 to build production-grade quantum photonic chips, which is direct overlap with the same component layer Cisco is engineering. The Europlation was amended in January 2026 to explicitly include quantum systems, signalling that European supercomputing investment now treats quantum as in scope rather than adjacent. Source. European Commission, the UK has committed £2.5 billion through its national quantum strategy and announced a further package of up to £2 billion in 2026. Within that package, £125 million is dedicated to quantum networking. Procre, by contrast, is the UK's quantum computing procurement and scaling programme, not the quantum networking programme. China is operationally ahead in deployed QKD networking. The China Quantum Communication Network is an operational trusted relay QKD network spanning more than 10,000 kilometers with 145 fiber backbone nodes, 20 metropolitan networks, 17 provinces, and 80 cities. In coordination with the earlier Beijing-Shanghai backbone network, total deployed fiber mileage exceeds 12,000 kilometers. China Telecom Quantum operates commercially with a reported 6.8 million users. China Telecom reported per Quantum Insider. China Daily reported approaching 6 million in July 2025. In May 2025, China Telecom launched a hybrid QKD plus PQC commercial system, the first of its kind globally. The distinction worth holding on to, China's lead is in QKD quantum key distribution for cryptography, not heterogeneous compute networking. Different application, different engineering requirements, different market. The photonic component supply chain, the trained workforce, and the operational experience overlap meaningfully with what compute networking needs. The US is engineering the compute networking layer. China is running the communications networking layer at scale. Europe is trying to build both at once. None of this shows up in qubit count benchmarks. What the practitioner takeaway is. The April announcements move quantum-to-quantum networking from architecture diagrams into early commercial vendor hardware demonstrations, alongside a federally funded program building towards a shared backbone. For systems architects, the shift is not procurement readiness. There is no Cisco quantum switch product to buy, no settled heterogeneous QPU networking standard, and no production-grade repeater stack for long-distance quantum compute payloads. The shift is that the interconnect layer now has early commercial vendor prototypes, measured proof-of-concept claims, and a DARPA-backed architecture program. That is enough to move quantum networking from interesting future dependency to active roadmap variable. The archive paper that Cisco has flagged for publication is the next concrete reference point. When the proof-of-concept results land as a public preprint, the article that follows will have actual data to grade against, not press release numbers. That will be a second story for this publication. In the meantime, the plumbing builders have started plumbing.